From North State Public Radio, I'm Alex Dutson, and these are your headlines for Thursday, April 4th. Chico's historic El Rey Theater is up for sale for just under $2 million. According to reporting by the Chico Enterprise Record, the owner of the theater had moved out of state during the COVID-19 pandemic and is looking for the right buyer. The theater is currently being maintained by a local property manager. The property listing boasts that the historic theater was built in 1905 and opened in 1906. It includes three on-site suites as well as a potential apartment space. According to the theater's website, the El Rey is the longest continually operating movie theater in the state and the third longest running in the nation. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 this week to approve the county's election results. The results had already been certified by the county's Registrar of Voters, but procedure calls for the board to vote to approve the final results. According to the Reading Record Searchlight, Supervisor Patrick Jones was the only dissenting vote. Historically, the vote by the board has been non-controversial, but elections have become a leading issue in the county following unfounded claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election. According to the Searchlight, some commenters continued to cast doubt on the county's election process, while others argued against any attempts to undermine the official results. People convicted of severe animal cruelty would be added to California's firearm prohibition list under a bill advancing in the state legislature. It would add an automatic 10-year ban on guns to misdemeanor animal abuse convictions. Riverside County Deputy District Attorney Meg Holtman spoke in favor of the bill.
Under current law, an individual who hurts an animal and is convicted of a misdemeanor can lawfully access and possess a gun as soon as they're off probation. In California, misdemeanor probation is only 1 year. This means that an animal abuser can lawfully access a gun shortly after they are convicted.
The bill has passed the Senate Public Safety Committee. It heads next to appropriations. Youth mental health is taking center stage this year as Governor Gavin Newsom's 2023 Mental Health Master Plan is implemented throughout the state. Part of this work dedicates $4.1 billion to a community schools strategy over the next 5 years. Cap Radio reporter Srishti Prabha checks in on how that money is being spent.
The California Department of Public Health reports that between 2018 and 2022, suicide has been the leading cause of death for youth between 10 and 25 years old. Part of the statewide plan is the Not a Bother campaign, a social media campaign to destigmatize mental health and reduce youth suicide. They have partnered with 34 community-based organizations to locally promote the message. Impact Sacramento is one such organization, and Veronica Boulis is the program director.
That I did grow up in this community. I went to the local high school here. I think more and more now we're finally opening up and talking about mental health and saying it's okay to feel lonely. Bother me when you're feeling down. Bother me when you're never a burden is pretty much what the campaign is about.
She says the Not a Bother campaign and its accompanying resources are a youth-informed initiative.
So that's why we actually implemented the girls group. Girls said that they want their own kind of private time. It's so cute. They said they want to name the Wednesday group Bother Me Wednesdays.
They have received $500,000 over the next 3 years to expand their services and promote the campaign. Srishti Prabha, Cap Radio News.
Srishti is a reporter in partnership with the Sacramento Observer. Zaki Munoz is a 12-year-old from Los Angeles. He and his mother were at the Capitol yesterday to support a bill inspired by his experience with food allergies. The bill proposal calls for a change in wording on the requirement for schools to carry epinephrine auto-injectors to epinephrine delivery systems. Cap Radio reporter Tony Rodriguez has more.
This proposed bill would allow for the inclusion of future alternative delivery methods, like nasal sprays and sublinguals, that are still awaiting FDA approval. Munoz is now pushing for the passing of AB 2714, or Zaki's bill, to be heard by the State Assembly Committee on Education.
That is a huge change for the food allergy community, because I don't know about you, but I hate shots. And as new technology is coming out, new epinephrine's been coming out. I know that there's a nasal spray that's going through FDA and also a sublingual. So we want to be prepared for the future.
Currently, schools offer injectable epinephrine approved by the FDA. Munoz's mother, Priscilla Hernandez, says the choice to use less invasive methods could remove people's hesitation to treat anaphylaxis, which can only be treated by epinephrine.
I think this just creates awareness that there will be different forms in which how you can administer it opens the doors for the ability to utilize those needle-free options.
Munoz has seen success making epinephrine injectors and usage instructions more readily available on school campuses statewide. If approved, the bill will make its way out of the Senate Education Committee and into the Assembly for a vote. Tony Rodriguez, CAP Radio News.
Friends of Plumas Wilderness and the Plumas Audubon Society are hosting a speakers series focused on biodiversity in the Upper Feather River watershed. Experts will discuss initiatives related to restoration and conservation. They'll also talk about the role of citizen scientists. The next presentation will be held on April 17th at the Quincy branch of the Plumas County Library. The Sierra snowpack is slightly above average this year, and most of the state's reservoirs are at or near capacity. But according to the news outlet LAist, a Department of Water Resources official warns that a couple of wet years aren't enough to offset the effects of prior drought. Authorities say groundwater supplies have not fully recovered, and it's possible some areas could still see dry wells this year. In the North State, the Department of Water Resources reports that Lake Shasta is about 12 feet below full, and Lake Oroville 28 feet below full. Water managers typically keep reservoir levels low enough this time of year to allow capacity for spring runoff. An important parcel of land in Northern California is set to be returned to the Yurok tribe, who will steward the land going forward. It's the first co-management deal between a tribe and the National Park Service and California State Parks. Just off the Northern California coast, nestled against the edge of Redwood National and State Parks, is a place the Yurok tribe calls Arau. The agreement to repatriate the 125 acres to the Yurok tribe was finalized last month. Steve Metz, superintendent of Redwood National and State Parks, says this deepens the relationship between his office and the tribe.
Usually that was a tribe coming to National Park Service lands and providing their expertise. Now it's going to be flipped around a little bit, that they're the owners and the Park Service is going to provide our help and support to the Yurok.
The tribe will create a series of trails that connect to the Redwood National and State Parks nearby, and the tribe hopes to build a cultural center to educate people about tribal history. Rosie Claiborne is the tribe's cultural resources director.
It's an important piece. Every piece is really important, and you know, Yurok will always continue to fight to regain all of our ancestral territory back. That's not a hidden fact. It's written into our constitution. That's our mandate we work on every day here.
It's an important piece of land for the tribe culturally, and it was used as a hub for trade.
In ancient times, it would have been a meeting place because all of our trails converge at that one area.
That's Philip Williams, a tribal council member. He says Prairie Creek, which runs through the land, was a vital source of salmon and trout.
All the rivers and creeks along the coast, you know, they were a food source and materials, you know, basket materials, medicines. Basically, that was our grocery store and our refrigerator.
But the land, like many other parts of the tribe's territory, was stolen from them and badly damaged during the 19th century gold rush and by timber companies. Arau, in particular, was later the site of a sawmill, one that Williams worked at when he was younger. He says the mill ravaged the land and the river.
The sawmill was a dirty place. It had oils and chemicals and things spilled all over. And so our waterways were considered dump sites, where they would just pour whatever waste they had into the creek, into the waterways, and pollute it.
The timber mill stopped operating in 2009, but its footprint still scars the land. Giant slabs of asphalt and concrete foundations remain, along with a few collapsing structures. After the mill shut down, the property was purchased in 2013 by the nonprofit Save the Redwoods League. They partnered with the Yurok to start the years-long process of restoring the land. Native grasses and trees have been planted all along the riverbank, and crews continue to remove invasive plants elsewhere on the land. Laura Lollimond is a senior scientist with Save the Redwoods League.
Another big part of the project is creating juvenile fish habitat, and so that's creating off-channel ponds, backwater areas, and other features in the stream that allow spaces for juvenile fish to rear.
Prairie Creek, before the restoration began, had very steep banks and flowed too fast, but now the stream is flowing healthily. It's got bends, curves, and shallow pools. Councilmember Williams says the effects of the restoration are already apparent.
There's a reward, a cherry on top, when you see fish move right in there immediately and start using the habitat that we just built.
The Yurok will continue restoring the land in partnership with Save the Redwoods League and will formally take ownership of it in 2026. And those were your headlines for Thursday, April 4th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. You can also find a newsletter-style rundown of headlines on our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Alex Dutson.